Time for us to begin. The Bible reading this morning is from the 16th chapter of Acts. Acts 16, verses 10 through 18. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where they supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour.
Good morning. This week I am concluding not only our monthly series that we have for the month of March, but concluding the series that Mike and I have been doing in tandem for the 2+ years that I've been involved in the work here. Starting next month, Mike and I are going to be doing still series, but we're going to be doing series on our own so we can plan them out and prepare for them ourselves. And that'll start next week with Mike's lesson, just in it. First time in years, I don't know what he's going to be talking about in the first part. But we are going to be concluding this month's series, which has been the co-workers of the Apostle Paul. Now, previously we've talked about Barnabas and Timothy, and last week Mike talked about Silas, but this week I'm going to be talking about someone which probably we don't immediately think about Paul having this person as a co-worker. When we think of this person, there's other things that we think of first. Most notably, that he's the author of the gospel that bears his name and also the author of the book of Acts. This is Luke. Now, in addition to the time that I spend talking about Luke, I was very fascinated that, you know, one of the things that I learned when I'm doing a study like this, I had no idea that there were so many thoughts and theories about Paul's place in the gospel as opposed to just being a writer. So I'll sprinkle those in as I go through, but there are a lot of, I would almost say, wild conjectures about Luke that we never ever consider. Some of them are based on speculation, based on inferences that we have in some of the passages, and in my mind some are just kind of just made up completely. There's no evidence for them whatsoever. So let's look a little bit about what we do know about Luke. His name is mentioned only 3 times in the New Testament. We're not going to turn there right now, but those are found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Philemon verse 24, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. I think they're all basically when Paul is wrapping up one of his epistles or one of his letters, and he is including Luke, either in someone who is there with him or sending along greetings or so forth. But for someone who's only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament, he is the person who is most responsible for the biggest part of the New Testament. Paul may have written more individual books, but when you look at the number of words that that Luke produced, he wrote 37,932 Greek words. This is 28% of the New Testament and 6% of the entire Bible. And Paul, in contrast, only wrote 32,408 words, and that is 5% of the Bible. So we have more words from Luke than we have of Paul. I would have lost that trivia question if I had been asked. I don't know that I would have been able to have thought of that. So he was very well educated from things that we can infer that Paul states about him. And we cannot say that he wasn't a devoted person to the spreading of the gospel. He was a near constant companion of the Apostle Paul. And that is known, and his name is known by pretty much everyone in the world who has ever heard of the Bible, because, like I said, one of the Gospels bears his name. But we don't know that much about him. His life is mostly a blank slate. We don't know where he was born. We don't know if he was married. We don't know if he had children. We don't know where or when or how he died. We just don't know these things. Now, what is generally accepted about him, and I will say generally because there are people who are always going to be contrary and so forth, but there are people that do not think that he's the author of the book of Luke or the gospel or the book of Acts, because those books are both anonymous. They're, you know, the author does not reveal himself, but generally Luke is considered to be the author of those two books. I feel most of us here believe he's the author of those two books, and so I'm coming from that viewpoint that he is. So with the authorship of those two books in mind, and given the few references about us, we come to us, what we do know about him come from the writings of the Apostle Paul, and we can kind of come up with a brief sketch or a very rough outline of what we can know about him. Now, as far as where he was born, traditionally, it is considered that he was born in either Tarsus or Philippi or Antioch. That those have all been suggested, and there's no lack of scholars that seem to make the case for any of those. As far as him being married, we don't know that. He would have been a very absentee husband. As much as we know he traveled with Paul, don't know that he could have brought a wife along with him, but that'd be a pretty rough life to be trying to maintain a marriage. So very, very difficult to think that he was married. It was generally thought, this is where I will put generally thought that he was not a disciple of Jesus during Jesus' ministry. But there are those who argue this point, going so far, as I said, to kind of invent two stories about him. Some suggest that he may have been one of the 70 that went out, because the Gospel of Luke is the only one that includes this account. People speculate that he included it because he was part of that 70. Once again, that is just speculation. There are things that are in other Gospels and so forth that don't necessarily mean that the writer was included in that. If Luke did write the gospel that bears his name, then as the writer of that, we can understand that whoever the writer was declared himself an outsider to the actual events. In Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he writes that he is compiling a narrative of these events that happened among them. But he says he's getting this information from eyewitnesses, and he's getting this information from ministers of the word. He's not saying that he witnessed any of these himself. He was getting this information secondhand. So this would strongly suggest that he was not part of the 70, and he was not most likely a disciple of Christ when Christ was on his active ministry. It is extremely likely that Luke is not Jewish. In Colossians 4, verses 10 through 15, when Paul is extending his final greetings in that book, he mentions that there are only three men with him that, using the phrase that Paul said, that were of the circumcision. And he named those three men. And then he goes on later to list Paul. To list Luke. If Luke was part of that group of the circumcision, he surely would have been included with that. So based upon that, we do not believe that Luke was Jewish. knowing that the Jewish Christians initially, or how they reacted initially, when Paul and Peter both mentioned about preaching to the Gentiles, I find it hard to believe that the Jews would have allowed a Gentile to be one of the 70 to go out and so forth. But once again, that's speculation on my part as well. I'll just mention quickly that there's another group of people that strongly profess that Luke was one of the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus, since he included that account as well, that he would have known the details about it. But once again, this cannot be supported by any evidence whatsoever. It is purely speculation, but I had never heard that people thought that about Luke, and so wanted to share that with you as well. Now, from Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul lets us know that Luke was a physician. Paul calls him the beloved physician, which indicates that he must have been fairly close to Paul. And by Paul's description of beloved, we can get that. Some manuscripts even have the text saying, my beloved physician, which leads some to believe that he was Paul's personal physician. And not only did he travel with him in a from a role of trying to help spread the gospel, but that he was there to help Paul as his personal doctor. Some scholars have even stated that whenever Paul had some physically demanding episode or some physically demanding time, Luke was there. And so whether that's something you could say for sure or not, but that is something else that people do think about it. There is someone, a gentleman by the name of Irenaeus. He was a writer from the second century, and he wrote a book called Against Heresies. And in that book, he mentioned, and say this was written about 112 AD, so not terribly far from the lifetime of these two men. And his declaration in this book was that Luke was Paul's inseparable companion, which is validated when we get into the we passages, the we passages of Acts. That's where the narrative then transitions into a third person plural. We find that Luke was with Paul during many of his journeys, and he experienced a lot of the things that Paul experienced, including the shipwreck and imprisonment. Paul's first two mentions of Luke comes from the epistles that he wrote when he was in prison. So, and the third mentions that Paul was imprisoned, but we don't know that Luke was ever imprisoned along with Paul, other than he was just there to help support him during those times that Paul was in prison. We do know that when others were apparently it got a little too intense for them to be around, Luke did stick around, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9, when Paul is appealing to Timothy to come to Paul as soon as he could, in verse 11 of 2 Timothy 4, he says that Luke alone was with him. So that would indicate that when other people thought it was just too difficult to live a life that would be that close to Paul, Luke was okay with doing so. So in those three passages that I mentioned where Paul mentioned Luke, we can assume from the writing that he did have a deep feeling and deep heartfelt thoughts towards Luke. But Luke is not specifically mentioned as being with Paul during any of the passages. As we've seen with the first 3 weeks, we either know that Paul talks about Barnabas and, you know, the two of them going places and doing things together, or with Timothy and Silas, we have occasion of where we're told that Paul sent Timothy here and he met with Silas here. We don't have that wording to indicate Luke was ever sent anywhere or was with him by name. But of course, we can believe that, because if Luke is accepted as the writer of the book of Acts, it's hard to argue when the language changes to the plural we. And in, there are three sections of the book of Acts where those travels are described from a we perspective. The first one is the passage that John read for us this morning. Acts chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. It's the first time in the book of Acts when the language, the grammar, changes to that third person plural. This is where Paul, this account begins with Paul being in Troas. In this passage in particular, I found very interesting, because if you don't think of Paul, sorry, as Luke as being a co-worker of Paul, or rather as just being someone who went along to record the history, almost like a reporter, well, the wording in verse 10 of what John read in Acts chapter 16, chapter 16, should change your mind there. In verse 9, we're told about a vision that Paul had, that he was being entreated to come to Macedonia. Luke says that they took that as a sign that they had been called to preach the gospel there. Not that they took this as a sign that Paul should go there and preach the gospel. It says that we took it as a sign that that's where we needed to be going. This would indicate to me that Luke had an active participation in the spreading of that gospel, and he was there with on that trip leading from Troas. From there, they went through several different towns that John's reading mentioned, and then they ended up in Philippi, which was in Macedonia. In Philippi, this is where Paul, just at the very end of what John read, I had him include that, because this is where Paul cast an evil spirit out of this girl that had this spirit of divination, and Paul was imprisoned because of the owners of that girl were no longer able to make money off of her. And honestly, this isn't in my notes. It just occurred to me when John was reading it. It said she went behind them saying, "These men." So it wasn't this man, this Paul. It was these men, of which Luke would have been included in her proclamations that went on for several days until Paul finally removed the evil spirit. So Luke is definitely treating himself as being someone involved in the spreading of the gospel. We do know that Paul and Silas were imprisoned there in Philippi, but we don't know if Luke was. He did not indicate that. At this point, the we passages stop for quite a bit of time. It's thought that maybe 2 to 3 years have passed. I saw maybe from AD 49 in this first account to the next time the we passages began, it's around AD 51 or 52. So it's generally thought that a few years may have passed. Paul and Silas from Philippi go on to Thessalonica and Berea and Athens and then to Corinth. And we do know that Paul stayed at Corinth for 18 months. And that leads some of this dating to take place. We're then told that Paul went to Antioch through Cenchrea, Ephesus, and Caesarea. He visited places in Galatia and Phrygia, and then returned to Ephesus, where he stayed for another 2 years. Paul then traveled to Macedonia, and then Achaia, where he stayed for 3 months, and then he returned to Philippi. Starting in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, the we passages returned there when Paul is sailing from Philippi to Troas. So whether Luke had stayed in Philippi this entire time, we're not told. It would just, like I say, strictly be conjecture. But he did meet back up with him in Philippi. They do travel to Troas, and they stayed there for just a short time. And then they went on to the next destination, and Luke indicates they went by boat, but Paul went by land. And so Luke is traveling, and they then sailed to Caesarea through a bunch of towns, Miletus and Rhodes and Tyre, there's a lot of different towns, and they end up in Caesarea in Acts chapter 21, verse 17. And then from there, they traveled to Jerusalem. Luke then provides us some very important information. Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 18 reads, "When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present." So from this reference, it indicates that Luke was present when they met with the apostles there in Jerusalem, the elders at Jerusalem, and that this is considered to be James, the brother of Jesus. So Luke was able to meet Jesus' brother. Paul then was recognized by some Jews that were from the Asia region, and they started a riot. Very long story, that Paul was arrested and was taken back to Caesarea, And it is here that the "we" passages stop. So where was Luke while Paul was at Caesarea? Once again, we don't know. It's generally thought that he probably just stayed there in Jerusalem with the elders there and those that worship there. But once again, it's nothing but conjecture. Paul then goes on to appear before Felix. He appears before Festus and King Agrippa II, or the second. And even though Paul is assessed as being innocent, this is where Paul proclaims, you know, his right as a Roman to be heard before the emperor, or to Caesar. And at this point in Acts chapter 27, the "we" passages resume. And if you'll forgive my little pun here, just like the little piggy who went home, it's we the rest of the way to Rome. So Acts 27 describes the sea voyage from Caesarea to Malta. This includes the places they passed or visited, the storm that they endured, and the scuttling of the ship of Malta. All of this is told from the perspective that Luke was there and was involved in all of that. And Acts chapter 28 describes then the trip that they took to Rome, where Paul is placed under house arrest. So I will read Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 16. And these are the final groupings of the "we" passages. Starting in verse 11 of Acts chapter 28, "After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. After one day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him." So with all just the "we" passages here alone in those 5 or 6 verses that I just read, I find it very difficult to believe that Paul is not counted among the co-workers of Paul. Sorry, that Luke was not counted among the co-workers of Paul. It would be very hard to maintain that argument when the grammar and everything was taken into place, and with the general acknowledgement that Luke was the writer of the book. The grammar just makes it, in my mind, virtually impossible to make any reasonable argument. Luke, indeed, was a fellow co-worker of Paul, traveled with him in many places, and the wording in the verses that I pointed out do indicate that he was active in that work. And we know from some of the language that Paul uses in reference when he does say Luke by name, that he is a very close and dear friend of Paul. And speaking of Paul, he has the prayer at this time, and after that, we will have our class.